Tom Hagen. I'm calling from Vito Corleone at his request. Now, you owe your Don a service. He has no doubt that you will repay it.
Well, my friend, are you ready to do me the service?
Yes. What do you want me to do?
Hello, Now Playing listeners. This is Brock Corleone, here to make you an offer you can't refuse. Now Playing is taking it to the mattresses with reviews of the Godfather trilogy of films and all of Al Pacino's other gangster movies. And podcasting is a dirty business. Doesn't make any difference to me what a man does for a living, but podcasting is it's a little dangerous. So now, we come to you for counsel and help. We understand you make a good trade, you make a good living, but now, we need a friend like you, so please, be our friend, listener. I want you to help Now Playing keep putting out the reviews you hear for free each week. And there's something in it for you if you can help them out. Know what I'm saying? Donate to Now Playing Spring Series and you can hear reviews of up to 28 bonus movie reviews. 28! Here's a preview of this week's bonus review of The Godfather Part 3.
Yeah, well, Andy Garcia is definitely a much more hip now, 1979s kind of cat.
He's got a leather jacket.
He's the outsider, though. They're framing him not unlike they framed Al Pacino in the first film, someone that isn't necessarily a part of the family and the operation. Did you guys catch his lineage? Because my memory was, you know, Andy Garcia is Cuban. I thought it was something that had happened with Michael in Cuba. Like, that was my memory going into this. But not at all. He is Sonny's kid, and he is the child of the woman that Sonny banged in the first film at the wedding.
Yes. I didn't catch that it was that specific woman at the wedding, but I knew it was a bastard child of Sonny's. We know Sonny liked to kind of hop around in beds.
Yeah, Lucy is there. That's the woman that is accompanying Andy Garcia when he shows up and is angry that he's not on the guest list. Lucy Mancini, same actress from that first film. But I didn't recognize her.
No.
No, I didn't either.
No, I only got that he was Sonny's son. I didn't know who his mom was.
Sofia Coppola recognizes him, though. Mary, we introduced the idea of the kissing cousin.
If that's not creepy enough, Vincent's like, oh, when I was 15, I knew a lot of eight-year-olds. I'm like, ooh, okay.
He didn't say that. He said he knew a lot of girls.
Yeah, but she talks about how she was eight, and he's like, oh, I knew a lot of girls your age. It's weird. Maybe that's an Italian thing, kissing cousins. It just comes off as a really weird plot point.
I'll admit, I kissed my cousins. There was a love affair with me. And
were you a child or were you grown up?
I was 9 years old.
Yeah, that's a different thing. I had a crush on my cousin when I was seven and she was seven, and then we grew up and realized we wanted children with 10 fingers and 2 eyes, and that chromosomes are not really good if you're that close.
One of the many interesting stories shared by Coppola on the commentary tracks. I gotta say, he is great with those things. If you ever want to just know a lot about anything, the man's very knowledgeable, but he was perfectly comfortable sharing that his family lineage, the Coppolas, are descended from cousins. That way back that his great-great-grandmother was like a seamstress or something, she scratched her nose with a sewing needle. It got infected and they cut it off. And because she was disfigured, they said, no one will marry you. You have to marry your cousin now.
Oh,
and that's where he traced his family roots.
And that's why you don't scratch your nose with a sewing needle. The more you know.
Yeah. So again, a lot of these things that we see that may seem puzzling or unexplained or undeveloped in this movie, Coppola had ideas in his head he was pulling from history and from personal history as well.
Just because it's good enough for the Coppolas doesn't mean it's a good idea. But what you're telling me is really striking me as odd, because you said Coppola sees himself as Michael, and yeah, he sees his daughter as Mary, and this marrying cousins thing is in his family.
Is Vincent Nicolas Cage?
Well, Funny you should say that. He was on the casting list. They had all sorts of actors lined up to play that part, just as they did with Mary. And for various reasons, they didn't come together. But yeah, they could have done it. Could you imagine if it was Sofia Coppola and Nicolas Cage, who were actual cousins? That would have added something if it had been them. But they looked at lots of different people. The Strangest choice, I really don't think it would have worked, but they were thinking about going back with Robert De Niro. That Robert De Niro is like, I can play young and I can be like, you get me from both sides. And won't that be interesting as a comparison to what I did in the second film?
No.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't really work. But others on the list, Alec Baldwin, Val Kilmer, Matt Dillon, Charlie Sheen, Billy Zane. I mean, it got worse. Andy Garcia wasn't very well known, but he had been in The Untouchables and he had been in this Ridley Scott movie, Black Rain, with Michael Douglas. And that was really his breakout up to this point. He's 35 years old in this film, and Sofia Coppola is 19.
Okay, he doesn't come off that old. I thought he was in his 20s.
Yeah, I would have guessed mid-20s looking at him. He still looks very young. He does not look like the Andy Garcia I picture from most of his movies in the 90s.
The Ocean's films?
Yes, those. But he just has a more severe look later in life. I don't know how here he is so carefree just a few years earlier, but almost unrecognizable if I hadn't known who the cast list was going in. The one person I did not expect to see in this movie, though, is his girlfriend, Bridget Fonda. I thought she'd have a much bigger part. She's here at this party, and she, I think, is like a Lois Lane investigative reporter. She's asking all sorts of questions.
Okay, I thought that was gonna go somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know why you're calling her a girlfriend. She's taken home for the evening, but they make it clear they're meeting for the first time here. And she calls him handsome but useless because he can't get her the interview she wants. She's here for the story.
She gets a lot of screen time for when she's in this film. I did think there was going to be a whole undercover journalism thing going on, but no, she leaves.
And if you had read Mario Puzo's draft that he wrote back in the early 80s, when Coppola was still saying, I'm never going to make it, there was a version where she was the female star. She was dating Tony, is the only thing. Tony was always the main character, it seemed like, in all the drafts. They were always fixating on what Michael's son would end up growing up to be, and it was presumed he would either be a gangster or a spy or something in excitement. The fact that he's going to be an opera singer here is going a different way, but the character survives from earlier drafts that now you wonder, why keep her? Again, this was also, they had other people. When Madonna didn't get the Mary Corleone role, they're like, well, let's give it to her. Coppola still went, nope, too old. So Bridget Fonda was a thing happening at this time. It was the brief window of opportunity where people thought she would be the next big thing.
Yes, single white female and singles were both within just a couple of years here. And I do think she should have been a bigger part, but as far as Michael's son, this whole singer thing, I thought would also go differently because Michael's very honestly like, what are you going to do when you don't make it?
You thought it'd be more than a plot contrivance to get everyone to Sicily?
I would have liked to have seen Michael make a phone call. Like Michael pull some strings to get him a job in Sicily.
I thought we were going to get another horse head or something because that seems like a really weird, like, oh no, by the way, Dad, I'm a really good opera singer. Yeah. I guess the kids were estranged, but that's like, oh, you're going to law school. Nope, I'm going to drop out and become a opera singer. Like, that is very specific.
When he said singer, I didn't catch opera in that scene where he's like, I'm dropping out of law school. I thought maybe he was going to go off with Johnny Fontaine or something, yes, and he was going to be a pop singer. So when he's doing opera later on, I'm a little bit aghast, and I thought that it would be he was bad. I thought it would be that it came out that Michael pulled strings. I mean, his openings in Sicily, not just anywhere in Sicily, but in Corleone, Sicily. I'm like, Michael had to do this. I expected him to just croak when he opened his voice, but no, that dude has some lungs.
Yeah, and this actor did go on to have a big musical theater career. If you saw Phantom of the Opera on Broadway anytime in the last 20 years, you probably saw him do the role. That became his signature. Before this movie, he was a total unknown. After this movie, he had great success putting on that mask on Broadway and being Phantom of the Opera.
Another surprising revelation is we're being reintroduced to everyone here. We talked about Robert Duvall not coming back, but you have his son here who's become a priest.
Yes. This, again, was a real source of, I think anger. On one hand, Coppola felt betrayed that he couldn't make his friend. You know, Robert Duvall was someone that he considered a brother, had been in most of his films, period, up to this point, that it ended up being a squabble for money, and that they so had tailored the role. I know things that they had planned for this character. When we get into the plot, I'll talk about them, but ultimately...
Yeah, because he doesn't play a part with any of the Vatican stuff, right?
Well, in the original conception, he would be one of the ones plotting against Michael. And so it was really going to bring in something. You know, he kept being pushed out. Michael had cut him out. You're not consigliere anymore. That was going to come back at him, and we would find out that he had been one of the ones in cutting these deals, and that he would betray, I think, would be very powerful to see.
And with this son, though, with his role as a priest, Andrew Hagen, I thought he's going to be a spy for Michael. Like, he asked Michael at the beginning here at this party, hey, can you get me a spot in the Vatican? And later on, he's working in the Vatican. I don't know if he plays a role, though.
For me, the real head-scratcher, when I found out who it was, that Michael has this PR guy named Dominic Abbandando, which is the old grocer. He's from that line of grocers that helped out his father. I was like, okay, well, this obviously means something that we keep cutting to him, and he's trying to control the PR story. Did you recognize who that is? That's Father Guido Sarducci from Saturday Night Live. He shaved his mustache.
I would never recognize him without that, so yeah. No.
I'm like, is he going to do something funny? Why would you hire the guy that parodied the Catholic Church throughout the 80s on Saturday Night Live to be the PR guy? But he just was a Coppola friend. And Bridget Fonda, this guy...
Want to hear the full review? Become part of the Now Playing family. A soldier can donate for silver level. $10 or more and get 6 bonus reviews. 4 of the Purge series and 2 more from Assault on Precinct 13. But I don't know nothing about no assault, you know what I mean? A capo can donate for gold level. $25 or more and get 13 total shows, including all 7 Al Pacino mobster reviews. Underbosses who donate $35 or more for platinum level get 17 total shows, huh? All the ones listed plus reviews of Pacino's 4 police films, Serpico, Cruisin', Sea of Love, and Heat. If you're feeling up to being a Now Playing consigliere, you can donate $45 or more for the Great White level, getting all of those shows plus 4 Jaws reviews and 2 reviews of Deep Blue Sea. 23 total shows. And if you're a Don, you can donate $55 or more for the Jurassic level. You'd be a made man. Getting all these reviews plus the 5 reviews in the Jurassic Park series. A total of 28 shows. Bada boom, bada bing. Find the details at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. And though it's dangerous to be an honest man, I will tell you, if they could get a little help and close the deal fast, it'll be good for the family. It'll help pay the protection money needed for the free shows Now Playing has put out every single week without fail since 2011. And if you donate, then we know you come to us in friendship. And if by chance an honest person like yourself should make enemies, then they would become our enemies, and then they would fear you. Leave the donation, take the podcasts. Now, I'm gonna go take a nap. When we wake up, if the money's in PayPal, we know we have a partner. If it isn't, we'll know we don't. And if that's the case, it's bad luck for us, and bad luck for you if you don't make that deal. Capiche? Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the motion pictures reviewed or otherwise referred to herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended. The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated. Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of Venganza Media Incorporated and may not be used without the expressed written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved. This episode in the Now Playing Podcast Godfather Retrospective Series is copyright 2018, all rights reserved, and no part may be reused or redistributed without the express written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.